Well, how many of y'all believe all that right there? It's His love that has saved us. It's not our works, but it's the work of grace to us that has changed us. And so I hope you're hearing this over and over and over again in Galatians. Jesus is it. How many of you have come to that conclusion? And there is not another it. Paul is really lining it up. And you know what he tells them? He goes to that to the seventh verse of the fifth chapter, is where we are. And he says, you know what? He says, what happened? Any of y'all ever had to ask that question? What happened? What has happened to me? Any of y'all been there? Galatians 5th chapter, verse 7. How many of y'all ever been there? What happened? There been a moment in your relationship with somebody you had to look back and say, okay, what happened? Where did we go wrong? What happened? Most of the time, something cuts in on our direction. Now, here's what I want you to really understand. You didn't get saved to be mundane. You know what I mean by that? You didn't get saved just to come to church on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays and go through a routine. That's not why God saved you. God saved you because now you're a part of the second covenant. You're a part of the second coming, and you're an heir into heaven. Aren't those all things the New Testament teaches? So really, you have a purpose. Paul uses this metaphor a lot. Run the race. And we hear it today. Look, he said, you were running a good race. He said, you were doing a good thing. You were moving along. You were getting what you were supposed to get. How many of y'all live that way occasionally? You're in your groove. If I was writing this letter today, I'd say, Hillview, you were in your groove with Jesus. Who took you out of rhythm? Or what took you out of rhythm? Paul says it like this. He says, who cut in on you? You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? Now, I want you to know something today. The truth is where it lives. What's the Bible tell us about truth? Truth will set you free. Would you agree with me today that we deny the truth a lot in our culture? What do you think? Am I on or am I off? Come on, talk to me a little bit. I know it's 9:30 and y'all don't like to talk, but I like the head nods. It gives me a groove, okay? What do you think, dude? Do you think that we're at a moment of time? Because, watch this. I want you all to know. Have y'all noticed I'm a little tense here lately? I mean, more than usual. Listen, I want you to know I'm not fearful, but I long, as Paul longed, to make sure that those in this church, they know what's going on. Because right now in this moment of history, not like other moments of history, there's a lot of things that could cut in on you. And right now, here's the ball game. Okay? We got to have government. I'm all for government. We need government. Government's the way of organizing. I'm going to tell you, you start worshiping the government and you'll be right away from Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to start now. I went to school in an old-fashioned time when they actually taught history. We dwelled on history. I like history. You know why? If you really read history, it shows you how not to be stupid again. Why does history repeat itself? Well, guys, I didn't say this, so you all email DrEarlWassom.com here, all right? Dr. Earl, he said, we're stupid. Or, Doc, could it be this? I agree with you. I think there's... I've met stupid people. How many of y'all have met stupid people? You're not sitting next to one. No, I don't want to. I'm just checking. Really, none of us are stupid, but you know what we do? We do let people cut into us and cut us off from obeying the truth. And I think we got to be careful to not give up truth for acceptance. Does that seem like a trade-off? Headmaster Tim, you deal with that with any of the elementary kids, fourth to sixth grade, they'll give up truth for acceptance. And then that kind of amplifies over in the high school land. Hello. And then it really amplifies at the university level. And then in adult life, what does it do? Watch this, I'm going to blow you all away. I propose to you that peer pressure increases, not decreases. I think the reasons adults talk about peer pressure all the time is because they're more victim than the adolescents. Got to live in the right neighborhood, got to have the right car, got to do whatever we think glorifies ourselves. That's cutting in on the truth. Now, here's the thing about truth. Truth in the Bible, it always says, truth leads to what? Truth will set you free. That's John chapter 8. Okay, the truth will set you free. Now, Jesus is truth. So when Jesus sets you free, it says you are free indeed. How many of y'all are indeed? You are free. Now, here's the truth. God loves you and He's not going to let go of you. How many of you can embrace that? Some of you are yet to come to truth, and here's what you're struggling with most of the time. A lot of my buddies that won't come into Jesus yet, here's what they struggle with. Because they'll say, Steve, I've done a lot of sin. Are you sure God can forgive all my sin? Yes. How many of y'all are glad to know that God did not have a sin quota? How many of y'all are glad God did not? Is it okay? Everybody who has over 5,000 sins, boom, it's over. God just said, I forgive what? Sin. All. So it's not the amount, it's the opportunity of grace to go and work at your life. Now here's why Paul's a little upset. You were running a good race. Pastor Reynolds, I would suggest they understood grace some sort. Wouldn't that be the context there? They understood grace and they were living out in grace, and then they get ready to make a trade. Grace for the rule of man. Grace for the rule of man. Now, I'm going to show you 2 points. How many of y'all realize we got a right and a left? There's a right and a left to everything. Those aren't necessarily good or bad. There's just a right and a left. They're two different ways of thinking. I think on the right, they have a problem. They like to make rules up. And then I think on the left, they have a problem. They like to abandon facts. Just straight out facts. Both of those will get you where? Death. Good. Thank you, Cindy. Both of them will. So don't get all puffed up and say, I'm on the right. Guess what that means? You're dead right. If I'm on the left, I'm what? Dead left. What's the common denominator there? Dead. How many of y'all are glad to know God does not want you to live in death? You ought to be more excited about that than it appears here. I mean, here's the good news. God did not call us to die. He calls us to live. To live. That ought to be this pumping moment. That's why Paul's a little upset here. And he's going, who cut you off? Who has cut in on you? Who has given you a substitute for grace? Now be careful. Here's what happens. Sometimes we want to glorify ourselves. How many of y'all have ever wanted to glorify yourself at least once in the journey so far? How many, here, let me clarify that for you. You thought more about what you wanted than what God wanted for you. Anybody ever done that before? Okay, just good. Well, the rest of y'all are either asleep or you need to go check out that commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness, all right? This is the human struggle. Look at what they were doing. Trading in the power of grace for an interpretation of a human being. A lot of folks do that, don't they? They say, well, here, you got to take on circumcision. An add-on. Has not Paul been clear? Be careful about people and teachers that add on to the gospel. Occasionally, I have to throw a little sandpaper on our pastors when they like to add their interpretation to Jesus' commands. Now, you got to be smart enough to know the difference between what I think and what God says. I'll tell you, this is my opinion, and then I'll tell you, this is God's truth. How we shape it out. How do we work it out? Don't let someone cut in on you. Let me show you why. If you desire to glorify yourself, you can always be manipulated. Y'all found that to be true? Watch this. Ladies, y'all go car shopping. Any car you step in, you're what? Exactly right. Y'all been car shopping. That's simply, oh man, you look great in there, honey. It's like, what? Does cars get rid of ugly, or what's the deal here? You know, you step, I mean, have you noticed there is no car you step into that you won't be gorgeous? And, you know, and if you're dressed to the nines, they really play on that. Why? Here's what they know. If you will get into your glory, you can be manipulated into their way. Hear the principle ringing? Same thing that goes on. That's why I want y'all to be warned today, okay? Be careful. Listen to what you listen to and be careful. Get to the truth. Get to the truth, okay? Now listen, I'm going to give you a truth just because I love y'all. None of you all need to spend money like our government. Because they'll break you. Now watch. We're going to live in a very devastating time. Somebody mark this down so 20 years from now, because you got mad at me today, I can say, in love, I told you so. Why do I know that's going to collapse? Is that a political opinion? Oh, no. It's a biblical truth. What did God say? What did God say? Don't become subject to the lender. What are we doing? Becoming subject and expecting blessing. Same thing going on here in Galatians 5. God gives grace, cross, resurrection, and we got a small group saying, no, it's not about Jesus. It's about circumcision. You know what Paul says? Beware. Those who lead people away from Jesus will pay a penalty. Somebody with me? Now, church, listen, I want you, listen, please, be aware. You can get mad at me if you want to. I want solutions. I hope y'all have come to a conclusion. I could care less if you're a Republican or Democrat. Are you smart? Do you have a plan? Do you have something that's working? I don't know about you all, but personally, as a human being, I am sick and tired of all this political rhetoric. All of it. It's time to get to solutions. And guess what? Both sides are equally corrupt. You know why? They're not truth. They're not truth. See, I like sheriff. By gosh, I'm a sheriff. I'm going to protect you. Elect me. That's the only issue he's got. Love people. You're going to see this in this text, man. Now, church, I want us to wake up. We got to decide. We got to decide if we're going to have some influence or not. Now, this is what's going to blow y'all away. We're not going to have influence siding. That's going to fry some of y'all's minds. We will not have influence siding with a political party. We will have influence by showing, demonstrating, and believing what God said. Wouldn't that be weird? Everything's going to hell, and there's a small pocket that's going to heaven. What would that be? Now, Coach Riley, you know I'm through. You grew up in Sunday school class, and God always sustained a remnant. Do you remember that? I remember those flannel boards. They'd have all the people getting wiped out, and then they'd have a little circle. Those who were faithful to God. How many of y'all want to be a part of the little circle that's faithful to God? Even when it's not popular to be faithful to God, you say, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to stay in the truth. I'm not going to get cut off of the race, no matter who says what. Is that cool? Can I move on? Now, be careful of people that tell you things that aren't biblically true. Because they will pay a penalty. For the sinful nature, guess what it does? It desires things that are not of the godly nature. So look what happens. Don't glorify yourself. He says a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. Here's what he's saying. The cross and the resurrection are enough. Nothing else added. And nothing taken away. Does that make sense? In Christ alone. That's a big statement. In Jesus. How many of y'all believe? It's Jesus. And nothing else. Well, what about my behavior? In Jesus. I'm going to give you a test. You ready? This is a test of the heavenly broadcast system. And if y'all don't get it, we're preaching for the next 5 hours, so you better get it right. Do good people go to heaven? No. But I wanted four of you. See, look. Watch this. I'm on the number one thing that cuts us off in South Central Kentucky. Pastor Mike, what do you think? Am I tracking? How many thousand times have you heard this? Mike, listen, I'd come to Christ, but I'm just as good as the guy down the road. How many times have you heard that? Now you got to get to the truth to be set free. You see, some of you are going to go to hell being good.
And then you're really going to be ticked in hell. Because you're going to go, well, I didn't cuss and I ended up here. I know, but you lied. See, if you're going to get to heaven on your own, you've got to be perfect. Do y'all know anybody that's perfect? I mean, even holy people, are they perfect? No. How many of y'all notice that most holy people just don't talk about their sin? They talk about yours. Oh, that's called gossip. See, here's why God left the Ten Commandments here, to show us we need His truth to bring us to heaven. I mean, I really believe that. We need His truth. He's the way. Who cut you off? You know what He said? He gave a warning. He said, people that lead you away from Jesus, lead you away from the truth. Look what He said. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. I do want to touch base with this. There are consequences, and no matter what we do, there will be consequences. Dale Brown, did education not change in your educational career? I know it's still continuing, but we'll call it first phase. From the time you were a young buck teacher to a superintendent. There was one big difference, wasn't there? How many of you all grew up in school where there was a consequence for misbehavior? How many of you all grew up in the delayed system or the instant system? Now, none of you young people can raise your hand. You all don't even know what discipline is. Y'all were put in time out. Oh. What's this? I had a teacher in the fifth grade, and I deserved it. I want to go on record, Dale. I deserved it. Patty, I know this is hard for you to believe, but I was talking in her class out loud. I was causing a disturbance. Little Miss Robinson, God bless her soul, stood me up, and she got her ping pong paddle out, and she said, stand up, and I stood up, and she went, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I laughed. I'm going to show you something in Scripture. The due penalty will come. Well, since I laughed, she walked me up to the eighth grade teacher named Robert Steen. 6'3", 240 pounds. Big old belly out here like this. Wore his glasses down on his eyes. Steen said, boy, you've been acting up. Yes, sir. He did not have a ping pong paddle. He had a half a bat, and he had played baseball. He put two licks on there, and guess what? This scripture came through to me. Look, they will not go without penalty. Now, be careful, church, not to step away from what God said to be popular. Now, you all know I'm telling the truth. That's why some of you are looking at me like, well, I can't believe you're saying it. You can't believe it because you know deep down inside it's true. It's true. We got to love people. We got to work hard. We got to be careful not to lead folk away from Jesus Christ. That's who I'm allegiant to. And I'm just going to be very, I'm going to be very honest. Do not trade your soul then to a government. Ever. Ever. That is historically a bad move on the chessboard. Every time. Every time. Do you know any government that ever blessed its people? Why? Human beings make awful gods. That's the problem. Humans make a bad god. And when you become the Caesar, you can't do it like who? God. Just be careful. What were these Judaizers trying to do? Become who? God to these people. And Paul's going, who cut you off from the good race? You were running it so well. And you started listening to what couldn't bless you. Warning, warning. Stay away from things that won't what? Bless you. And live in things that what?
Bless you. And it has a name. Who is it? Jesus. Live in who? How many of y'all glad to know Jesus is in you? He's got you and He will get you to where you need to be. All right. Have I been clear? There's a penalty. And here's where people are going to be amazed. I want you to know. I'm going to ask you that question once again. Do good people go to heaven? No. Do bad people go to heaven? No. Do people who've given their life to Jesus go to heaven? Yes. Good. That's the truth. So don't get in a good, bad argument. It's a cut-off argument. Now I'm going to show you some practical principles and we're going to sum her up. You ready? We're to love one another as Christ has loved us. That's just a fact. That's the truth. And it's time for Christians to be Christians. In fact, if you want to follow something other than Jesus, then you better go all the way with it. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I was still preaching circumcision, well, why is it that I'm still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. What does it tell you about the cross? It'll be offensive. Watch this. Do you think I would say, could you all imagine me doing an interview on CNN? How about with Keith Olbermann on the MSNBC network? You might as well just put WWF wrestling match on that deal. Would he and I agree? Absolutely not. We don't agree on anything because guess what he agrees? He believes humanity is the center of the universe. That's fine. He's free to that belief. But you see, I'm a Christian. So I don't surrender into his belief just so that I might feel better and then he might feel better. So what do? I stand in the cross. And the Bible has already told me the cross is what? Offensive. True or false? Watch this. People don't like this. I believe if you don't follow Jesus, you will not go to heaven. Now, what's most of America going to say? You're a bigot. You're a bigot. You're a bigot. You're a bigot. You're not inclusive. You don't believe that we all should go to heaven because we're all good? No. Why do I not believe that? The Bible never says that. And so what do you do with the Bible? Well, we don't believe parts of the Bible are true. Okay, hold on. As soon as somebody says that, here's what they've said. I know more than the Bible. Well, I know them, and I know they don't know more than the Bible. Why would you listen to somebody who looks like you when you could follow the one that made you? Amen. Somebody tweet that. That's good. That's good right there. That wasn't in the notes. Now, look. Let's preach on just a second. We as the church got to decide to make a difference, guys. Look, we're called to do something. He says, if you're going to follow something false, go all the way with it. He said, well, if it be circumcision, oh, don't stop at circumcision. Just go all the way and emasculate yourself. In other words, if a little bit of it's of value, take it all. In other words, the principle is invalid. Now, I want you all to be careful. Here's who you ought to expect to save you. God. And you know why a lot of people don't like to follow God? Freedom requires responsibility. And in my opinion, this is not thus saith the Lord. This is my observation and opinion as your pastor. The one thing that we step back away from in this nation is what? Sheriff, how many people do we have in the jail that didn't do a thing? Shame on you, Sheriff, just running around picking up people that don't do anything. Everybody's there to see. Guess what? The first thing they tell me, Sheriff, guess what they tell me? Well, I didn't do it. I said, I know. They just run around, just arrest innocent people all the time. Now, why does somebody say that? You know, you'd come out better if you did what? Guess what? My dad was a lawyer for 50-something years. There's never been a person drinking DUI that drank over two beers. They all get out of the truck like this. And they go, you know, that way 6'6", 300 pounds. And they go, officer, I'm going to tell you, I've had two beers. And when I forget it down, that was in the last 5 minutes. It's always two. Sheriff, am I not telling the truth? It's always what? Two beers. Ain't nobody ever got out of the truck and said, Sheriff, I've drank a case in the last year. Can you tell? Ain't nobody been that truthful, right? But that's the what? Truth. Because if you tell the sheriff you drank a case, what's going to happen? Penalty. What's the scripture said today? You want to leave the truth? You want to get away from what's free? You'll end up in confinement. Now, how in the world are we supposed to live? Let's get to the good stuff. The good stuff. There's the warning. Here's the good stuff. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Once again, we're called to be free. Sir, aren't you glad that you're called to be free? To live free, to understand life free, to live headed toward heaven. Do you all get this? You are called to be free. It even goes deeper. You have been made free. If you're not guilty, what are you? I know none of y'all have been arrested in here, but have y'all ever heard of people being arrested? When the judge says, not guilty, then what happens to that person? If they were handcuffed, what do? Uncuff them. If they were shackled, what do? Unshackle them. Now they are free to what? Live. That's the same pronouncement in heaven. Your sins have been forgiven. You are free. Now go what? Live. You're called to live. Now here's the way we ought to conduct ourselves. You were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, what? Serve one another. Watch this. Here's the way I kind of explain it. You are free to do what God desires, and now you're strong enough to not do what kills you. You are freed in Christ to have the power to stay in His freedom. Here, let me explain it to you. Let me get it real practical. If you don't go fast or you go the speed limit, do you have to worry about law enforcement agents? If you don't smoke dope or drink whiskey and drive, are you paranoid when you see law enforcement? Freedom, right? If you don't rip stuff off in the mall, are you scared when you see security? Because you can live in what? Freedom. But when you're guilty, you have to be what? Paranoid. So you walk around all the time like what? Huh? See, drugs is a bad... I mean, drugs, everybody's got to be worried who the narc is. Somebody be going, I wonder if there's one in here. It's a big crowd. Wonder who's looking. Is that free? Is that really a free way to live? Absolutely what? Not. The guy says, man, be forgiven, be guilt free. What's this? My wife, guess what? My wife can look through my phone all she wants. This phone here, they got me a high-tech one now. One of these iPhones. You can launch a NASA rocket from this phone right here. It's amazing all the stuff you can do. And for me, I'm technological. Guess what? My wife picks up my phone. She looks at my phone. Guess what? I care less. Why? There ain't nothing on the phone to get me. But hold on. I've been noticing this going on. If you've been texting your girlfriend on your cell phone and you're married, first of all, it tells you you're too stupid to be married. That's the first thing that indicates. Why are you going to leave a trail of sin? Okay, but are we clear here? This is a metaphor, not a life story of the pastor. Let's say I've been texting somebody I don't need to be texting and my wife picks up my cell phone. What's my reaction got to be? Oh, give me my phone. How dare you violate my what? My privacy. And she goes, well, what's on there? None of your business. But see, that would not be truth because, see, the truth is the two became what? So her cell phone's my cell phone. And my cell phone's what? There you go. See, there's some great things not being able to text. Freedom. Watch out. In fact, they've been showing these commercials, don't text when you're driving. I said, I can't text at my desk, much less trying to drive a car. You know? scared me. That's why I told my kids, I don't text. I said, I saw that commercial. You could die. They said, Dad, that's when you're driving. I said, looks like it could happen in your desk. I'm staying away from it. Now, I'm a little slow technologically, I promise. I never figured this out. Why do you have a phone and you send me a note? However, I got the information from my son. I said, why do you send me a text when you got a phone? He said, because I don't have to hear the rest of what you're going to say. He said, what do you mean? He said, the text takes 30 seconds. Your phone call takes 5 minutes on the introduction. I said, send me a text. Let's finish it up. Live in freedom, boys and girls. Look at here. But do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Don't use what you have to glorify yourself. Use what you have to glorify God in the message He's put in you. Now look, the entire law is summed up in this command. Serve one another in love. That is not an option for believers. The entire law is summed up. Love your neighbor as what? If we would do that, we'd clear up a multitude of sins. But we won't do it because guess what? We love our neighbor as we want them to be, but not as we desire to become. How many of you have your standards are tougher on someone else than they are your own self? Your expectation of others is higher than what you require of your own behavior. Causes a lot of problems. Now let's sum it up. You ready? I want to sum this up. We will destroy ourselves in this nation if we don't get a grip on some things, and we don't have 5 decades to do this. Now I want you to know, as a Christian, our job's not to be bashing people. It's to be loving people. It's to be saying, God, what do you want? But you got to be careful. We got to participate, but we got to participate with Jesus. You know whose side I'm on? Jesus. Sometimes he's a Democrat, sometimes he's a Republican, but no party owns him. James Dobson don't own Jesus. Nobody owns him because he is the epicenter of freedom. Serve one another in love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, here's a warning. We end today on a warning. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, is that not what we do all week long? Instead of having a good idea, we just fight. How many of y'all are tired of fighting? I am tired of grown men and women who are supposed to be professionals, who are supposed to have come out of graduate school, sounding like they're in the 7th grade in junior high, picking on each other. Adults, it's time for us to be adults. We need to have real conversations, and we need to provide real solutions. But guess what we want to do? How many of y'all call each other what? Names. Well, you're a bigot. You're a bigot. Well, you're broke and you're dee-da-da-dee-da-da. And I'm so tired of hearing about racism, I don't know what to do. Try Jesus. It'll get rid of your racism. When you follow Jesus, you only see one thing. People that are going to hell and people that are not. And you don't care if they're green, yellow, purple. You don't care if they're from Bangladesh or Brownsville. You just want them to know Jesus. And I hope you'll stay there, church. Don't start it in here. Don't ever start that backbiting, bickering, devouring in here. I'm going to show you something. I'm done. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. 1979 was the first time I ever went to the Southern Baptist Convention. I was thinking about going into the ministry. I hadn't made that full commitment yet, and I went to the Southern Baptist Convention. I thought Christians behaved. Jamie, I didn't go for, you know, Jesus understanding. I went to pack the speakers for the First Baptist Choir so that they could sing. And I watched a group of professionals start fighting. They continued that fight for 25 years. My whole career, all they've done is bite and devour each other. Now, after 25 years, what used to be an effective model, an effective moment, has done and reached the point of total ineffectiveness. Why? Not because people are bad, but because the Word of God is true. And no matter how you bend it or twist it or try to speak it out, its truth over time becomes reality. That's why y'all don't see me get all bent out of shape with people that think they're getting away with something. Why? They're not. Have y'all known anybody that had never gotten caught? You get what? Men, if you're having an affair, what are you thinking? You're having an affair with a woman. She's got to tell somebody. And guess who she's going to tell? Her girlfriend. Exactly right. And then her girlfriend's got to what? Let me help you. They haven't made a computer as fast as that communication. You know how to live in freedom? Love your wife. Yeah. Just love your wife. You know, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. She's messed up. They all are. You wives are looking and saying, well, I need a husband that's romantic. Wait to heaven. Then he'll be perfected. It's not going to happen on earth. Isn't that right, Elizabeth? Glad to see you walking in at a good time. Love one another and don't bicker and fuss and devour. Is that a good word? Richard, we got to be the leaders in conversation. Because I'm living in a world today that doesn't want to have a conversation. They just want to have a fight. How many of y'all have gotten out? Some of y'all are a little older. You like me. You realize that heaven's closer than it used to be. How many? Life is too short to devour each other. Love one another. As Jesus has what? Loved you. Y'all okay with that? So I'm going to give you a challenge. Especially you young Christians coming out of the box. I want to pray that God make you articulate. You know what I mean by that? That you speak well and clear. And you stand on the cross of Jesus Christ. And when the whole world tries to take that away from you, and they will, you will not forsake what Jesus has said. And I promise you, in the end, all will go what? Well. Truth always outlast a lie. Always. Here's the truth. Anybody in here today can be saved.
Said, Pastor Steve, you don't know, man. How many of y'all think like this? I got some big sins. How many of y'all got some big sins? Anybody in here big sinner? Like, I didn't know God was forgiving per pound, but I've heard this all my life. Pastor Steve, you don't understand, I got some big sins. I said, well, they're all big. I said, how much they weigh? Well, a lot. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between lying and drunkenness?
None.
What's the difference between extreme obesity and extreme addiction? Nothing. Just one's church approved and the other one's not. Guess what? You die just as quick on both. See what we do with sin? Here's what Jesus does with sin. He forgives it. He said, we've all broken the law. And he said, any person, aren't you glad? Whosoever. John 3:16. For whosoever. That means everybody in this room is qualified to be saved. Now, will everybody in this room be saved? I don't know. That's up to the Holy Spirit. Some of you today will say, you know what? That's a good idea. Well, that'll keep you out of heaven. Some of you will say today, that's who I want to be. And you'll ask Jesus. You say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. What does God do when you ask Him to do that?
Boom, he forgives you. He didn't change his mind on you, did he, brother? I mean, when you were baptized, he hadn't changed his mind, has he? He hadn't changed his mind. How many of y'all glad to know? Donnie, has Jesus changed his mind on you? No. Jesus talked to you at the gas pumps and then backed himself up 3 days later, didn't he, with a lot of different people. How many of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to be loved by you, Jesus. Guess what he'll do? He will come into that life and he'll change you forever. Try that today. He'll love you. If you've never been baptized, I'm going to ask you to be baptized. You know why? That's a truth you need to stand on. Here's what a lot of people have done with baptism. Well, I accept Jesus. Well, I go, what do you accept about him? Did he exist or did he save you? Because if you only accept that he exists, you're still in hell. If you've received that he saved you and forgiven you, then you're on your way to heaven. It's a difference. Watch this. Come on, be honest. Doesn't the devil know? Satan himself know that Jesus exists? Doesn't Satan himself know that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave? You know, if I was to bring Satan up here on the stage, I'll say, is Jesus real? He'd go, oh, yeah. Is Jesus, did he die on the cross? Yeah, I was there. Did he rise from the grave? He'll go, oh, most definitely. I've been defeated ever since. Is he saved? He would be, according to most decision cards I see in an evangelical church. God's not asking you to create, and he's not asking you to accept. He's asking you to receive the work of grace that he will give into your life. And you'll be saved forever. That's the truth. And the truth will set you what? And without the truth, what happens? There's a penalty. So you got a choice today. You can get all mad at the preacher and go, I don't think he should say that about the right and left. If you're that shallow, I pray for your soul even more. If that's all you got out of this message today, God needs to unwire your brain totally and wire you back up because you got a lot of wires loose. Now you're really offended. But that's the what? Let's get down to the truth of God and let it be released in the hearts of humankind so that the world will get better. See, I still believe my Sunday school teachers. Jesus loved all the little children. Red, black, white, green, yellow, purple. All the what? Little children. Who loved them? Jesus. Still does. Let's stand together. Lord, what a great day it's been in here. There's some people going to get saved right now. So Jesus, listen. I want y'all to focus in. It's been a special day at 9:30 today. God's doing some things at 9:30 today. God brought some of you here right now at this moment of time to be saved right now. Not tomorrow, not this evening, right now. That Holy Spirit's drawing you, just tell him, Lord Jesus, I ask you into my life. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. Lord Jesus, I love you. I receive you. If you're praying that prayer, come on forward right now so some of our pastors can talk to you. If you need to be baptized, come on. If you need to pray, something's cut you off. Something's cut you off. You let God just cut you back into the truth and show you how much he loves you. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. Come on, church. As you make your way forward, come and be saved, be set free, be made new. Just let God touch you right now in this moment. Come on, right now. Thank you, guys. Come on. Come on, right now. Come on, right now. Come on. Come on.